The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It is me, Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, and all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Last four digits spell carm.org, and on the carm.org website. Now, let's see. I think that works right there. I've been releasing information on the vaccines and stuff like that. And what I did today, just I want to give a shout out of thanks to people, because I asked people, and I'm still sending information, okay, at info@carm.org, and I asked people to send me stuff. And they did. And I went through all of the emails that we've gotten, and I categorized them to like 12 or 15 different categories so that you can go in and look at them. And I want to say thanks to, I don't want to say the whole names. I guard people's privacy, but Tracy, I want to thank you for that. And Carl and Michael. And let's see who else. We have one person, Tracy, really getting a lot of stuff there. Tim and let's see, Blake, Jim, a lot of people have been sending stuff in. There's Brian and Jeanette, you know, and Jeff and all kinds of stuff. Roger, so and Steve, look at all this. So I'm only halfway through all the list. There's a lot of people who've been sending me stuff, and I really appreciate it. Please continue to send me documentation. You can send it to info@carm.org. And I got to tell you, though, it takes a while for me to go through all the stuff. And the reason it does is I have to make sure that what I'm writing is proper. Now, I can go to a website like, I don't know, ChuckyBob.com, who might say something negative about a vaccine or positive. I can't quote somebody like that. We have to have something that's more official. So I will accept news sources and some videos, depending on who's in it, you know, stuff like that. FDA, CDC, The Who, science magazines, science websites, news reports, and things like that, from even from CNN, from Fox, from USA Today. I'll accept them. And this is the documentation I'm looking for. I'm also looking for anecdotal evidence for people who have had people that they know of vaccinated and things that have happened. And today I was going through some material, and looks like there's some issues. I'll just leave it very vague right now. But I've been releasing information. Yesterday I went through vaccination development stages, classical emergency. It was just I just found some information. Not that I would reproduce it and cite where I got it, sciencedirect.com, just so people can understand the real basics, the phases of clinical vaccination procedures and things like that. And so, just done a lot of stuff, been doing a lot of work, and it's slow in coming, and the reason is because it's not my area of expertise. But I am a researcher, and I do know how to find the right documentation. I just have to make sure that it's all legit and good and all of that, so that whatever I say is fully documented, and that's what I'm looking for. So there you go. If you want to give me some information on that kind of stuff, you can. Masks, COVID, vaccines, stories. If you're a nurse, a doctor who knows stuff, I keep it anonymous. I will never disclose anybody's name. I guard that. You know, I did 9 years of prison ministry, and I learned it well. That when I would go to different prisons, you never, ever gave any information from one prison to another prison about prisoners in other locations. You just did not do that, because you can get people killed. And so it's one of the things I learned, and so I guard people's privacy a great deal. They don't want me to say anything, I don't say anything. That's what it is, you know, and it's like protecting the sources. So there you go. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, we can talk about anything. 877-207-2276. For those who might be listening new, I'm a Christian theologian, apologist, and I defend the Christian faith. This Friday, I'll be debating a guy on the Trinity, Unitarianism or Trinitarianism. I'm working on the opening statement because we're going to do something a little bit different on this debate. I'm going to give him my opening statement. He's going to give me his opening statement, and we're going to go from there. I would just prefer to have a nice long discussion, a two-hour discussion on why he's a false teacher. That's my style, but anyway. All right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rick from High Point. Hey, Rick, welcome. You are on the air.
How you doing, sir?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Hanging in there by God's grace. What do you got, buddy?
It's been a while since I talked to you, and I just quit calling for a while because
I missed you, man.
I'm beginning to differ.
Well, you're awesome.
I'm beginning to differ too much.
But
that's okay. You and I used to have a good time disagreeing. We never got upset, whatever.
No.
But man, I got some stuff that's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
All right. I did work for a lady. She said, I used to be a Christian.
Okay.
And then I saw the light. Now, so immediately I'm about blown away. Then she says, there are things in the universe, that has helped me to see. Prime example, she calls me Mr. Harris. Prime example. Okay. You hear people say that Eve was born of Adam because supposedly God put him to sleep and took a rib from him. But I want you to hear this, Mr. Harris. How can a man be born of a woman? I said, it didn't really mean it like that. Well, that's what it's been said. Now, how do we know that Eve, listen to what she said, that Eve did not bear Adam and have him as a child? How do you even think like that?
Well, what I normally do when I talk to people like that, if I'm with them in person, is I kind of stare at him and frown just a little bit like I'm curious. And then I try and step to one side, like their left or their right, and take my opposite arm. And I move it up and down on the other side of their ear to see if I can see light coming through the ears. And that's one of the things. I did that to my brother once. And he held up his fist and looked at me and said, you're getting close. And
it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she, now listen, I said, well, how do you go to church? She says, I have a great church. I said, how long have you been going? She says, since 1988, and I would love for you to visit. I'm going, I don't know about this. But anyway, then I said, well, what size congregation? Well, we're a small church. How many members? 12. I said, let me get this straight. You've been in your church since 1980 and still only 12 members? Well, this is her answer, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I have to center myself around like-minded people. Prime example.
Okay.
How do we know?
Mm-hmm.
But prime example. She says, the word says that Jesus was born of Mary and she was a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we all know that you have to have sex.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
I got a question because I'm waiting for that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Here's my question, Matt. How can a person who I know her whole family? How can a person who was legitimately a born again Christian go that far back?
Because
how do they do that?
Oh, because they never
were
us first.
Let me answer.
Let me get in there. Okay.
Okay.
You asked a question. So, how can they fall? How can they do that and go that far away? It's because the Bible says in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. That's it. She was never a Christian to begin with. She's obviously going after what she desires. And not what the truth of God's word is. She's her own little goddess, and she's not submitting to the truth. And neither are those people. They go to that church, and they all believe the same thing.
Okay. One more important question. Okay, Bible talks about divorce in the New Testament. I'm not going in the Old Testament.
All right.
And it has to be because of adultery, right?
And or
abandonment
is also a grounds for divorce. Okay.
Now, abandonment on whose part, the man's or the woman's, or it don't matter?
doesn't matter if this spouse abandons a spouse, you know, if a wife abandons the husband or the husband abandons the wife, the other one is, you know, free to be separated and marry and remarried.
Okay, well, you just answered it, because I heard a pastor say today that the only way a divorce is legal, even in the New Testament, is if the woman is called in, if the woman commits adultery and she leaves the man, then he can remarry. But if he leaves her, then she leaves him. If he leaves her, she can no longer be married again. She can date, and stay separated.
Okay.
But the Bible wants them to reconcile. Is that true?
No. So let me read Scripture.
Okay, then.
I'm going to read starting at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12. So get some context, okay? But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who's an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So notice it says the brother or the sister is not under obligation. That means if either one of the opposite sex leaves, they abandon, then you're not under bondage in such cases, but it called us to peace. All right?
All right. One more, very quick. What was Mary Magdalene's role? Not Mary Magdalene's role. Now, she did wash this feet.
I don't understand the question. What was Mary Magdalene's what?
Role in the Bible. Was she a harlot or not?
Yeah, looks like it. Yeah, she had demons and was cleansed. Yeah. And then she became a follower of Christ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Matt, thank you so much. It was good to hear from you again.
Nice hearing from you, brother. All right.
All right.
Always enjoy your calls. All right. Hey, folks, we have wide open lines. Nobody waiting. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-220-7226. Just to let you know, this issue of marriage and divorce, yes, divorce is permitted in Scripture, but adultery and abandonment are the grounds. Now, there's debate about physical abuse. I think that falls under the abandonment issue. Now, when we have a marriage vow, the couple make a vow before God, but to each other and before people, that they will keep themselves to each other. That means they will not have relations, physical relations, with anybody else, just the one they're married to. So when someone commits adultery, they've broken that covenant. They have broken it. And so, as Jesus says, that you can get divorced under that circumstance. And Paul here is teaching that when they abandon, because that's also breaking the covenant, the marriage covenant. When one spouse leaves the other and abandons that person, then that is a breaking of that covenant. And this is why, what I understand is the reason that these things then can become a permission for divorce. Not that it's necessary, but that it's a possibility. We have five open lines, wide open. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, this is unusual. We have no callers waiting. And usually when that happens, I pick a topic and teach on it a little bit. And I was thinking about doing the issue of marriage just a little bit, because that was something that came up on the previous caller. So I'm going to do that. But if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And let's see, we're having a discussion in the chat room during the break about aliens, as in the movie, which I've seen 70 times. There's a story behind why I've seen it so many times. But I love sci-fi, so we're talking, and some of the people in the room are saying, no, I have never seen it. And I'm like, well, go ahead, because you won't be able to sleep for a few days afterwards. Anyway, a lot of fun. But we got callers coming in, so that's good. And if you are interested at all in the issue of marriage and learning a theological perspective of it, you can go to CARM and just type in the search engine, The Theology of Marriage. And it's something I've developed over the years, and when I do counseling, that's what I teach on. When I do marriage counseling, that is. When I do a ceremony, I give the couple a talk on what the theology of marriage is and things like that. And I need to convert it to a course. It'll be interesting. Wouldn't do anything 70 times? Hey, look, John Dawson, I don't want to do anything 70. How about eating or breathing, John? Oh, man, that was easy. Shooting fish in a barrel. There we go. All right. Okay, let's get to Cameron from Durham, North Carolina. Cameron, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for my call.
What do you got, buddy?
My question is, what are the principles of canonicity for the New Testament, and with those, who decided what those would be?
Well, canonicity was determined by the early church. They recognized the Word of God. They didn't grant authority to the Word of God. They recognized the authority of the Word of God. That's what this is how it worked. And generally, the issues of it, the characteristics, they want to know if it was divinely inspired. This is something that the church would recognize. Is it authoritative? Does it have the standard of truth written in it? Does it exclude other issues or other writings? Is it instructive, aimed at the church? Is it revelatory? Is it self-authenticating? Things like that. Is it covenantal? And the Christian church, knowing these things, would then come together. And so this is important. The canon does not become the canon by the church declaring it to be. The church does not declare the writings of the Bible to be inspired. That would then mean that the authority of the church is over the scriptures. No, the church recognizes the authority of the Word of God. And so it just Jesus says, this is what we recognize. It's authoritative by its nature. And that's how it went. And so the varying churches as a whole got together and they authenticated what was the Word of God. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, let's get to, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Stephanie from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine.
I've got a bit of a drama going on in my life, and there's some things that I was listening to your show earlier, and I just got thinking about some things that have been going on in my own personal life. And I'm married, and mm-hmm. I've been married 4 years now. And last year, my husband went to treatment. He's ex-military, and or at least I thought he went to treatment. And I'm finding out all kinds of things that weren't true, and he disappeared for 6 months. He abandoned me, our marriage, finally everything. And then I get a phone call in the middle of the night, and, come get me. And I did, and I really tried. I saw him through drug withdrawals, and I found it in my heart to forget. I couldn't forget, but I forgave him, and I needed to see that he was truly trying to get better before I committed to moving further as far as our marriage. Because right now, you're going to have to accept I'm trying to be your friend. And I kept finding reasons that I just felt like it was signs, like, Stephanie, don't do this. And, well, lo and behold, he just up again and disappeared. And I got served with divorce papers. And he wanted to turn it on me. But like I said, my husband disappeared for 6 months, and I developed a friendship with someone. Not walked out on my marriage or anything like that. And I have feelings for this person, a lot of feelings, and they've been very good to me. And he wanted to lay the blame, okay? And I recently found out that my husband married another woman in 2019, and it was a big blow. He's committed bigamy. So I really don't have any knowledge of what the Bible holds. I mean, what is my place? What is it I was supposed to do? Am I wrong for being
okay?
Angry?
Let me get. No, you're not wrong for getting for being angry. Anger is not a sin, not automatically. So he was in the military.
I forgive you for a lot of things. I can't forgive you for this. I just can't.
Okay, so
and
let me
I just
see.
Don't know how.
Okay, so let me see if I understand. So while he was married to you, he married another woman?
Yeah, and had a baby.
And had another baby. So he broke his vow. So he committed adultery. All right. So did he marry her after he married you, or before?
Yes.
After.
Right. When I thought he was in treatment, he came and I was getting married.
Okay. Yeah. So are you going to church?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And honestly, it's so mortifying, and I really don't want people I know to know that, because everybody told me, Stephanie, don't take him back. Stephanie, don't help him. Stephanie, you know.
Okay, I'm having trouble understanding you. Everybody says what?
Just Stephanie, you know, they knew he was bad for me. I mean, he had been physically abusive and cheated. I mean, there was a lot of people were fearing for my own safety, and I felt like a fool. I think that's the hardest part for me to get over, is I felt everyone tried warning me, and I didn't. I'm one of these people that want to see the best in everybody.
Okay, let's stick on the issue here of the. So he did that. So it means he lied and he deceived and he committed that adultery. So that is grounds for divorce. Not that you're obligated to, but you're able to.
All right. My thing is, am I the bad person because I have feelings for somebody else, even though he did all these things?
Okay, I understand why you would have feelings for someone else. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you married right now?
Yes, because I don't know where he's at.
Okay, so you're married right now. All right, so what you need to do is contact the elders of your church. I need to lay all this out before the church. You need to keep a record of who you've talked to, the dates as best as that you can, of what happened and when it happened and the stuff. When you got married, when you found out he had married someone else while he was still married to you. You need to document as much as you can. You need to present it to the elders, and you need to keep a record. I'll tell you why. Keep a record of what it is that you talk to the elders about and when you talk to them and who's present. And you keep this, so it becomes a legal document where you keep record of what's going on. And this is for later on as well. As you seek the counsel of the wise elders in your church, who will then hopefully recommend a biblical procedure to go through. So far from what you're telling me, it looks like divorce is definitely an option because he's broken his covenant with you and been deceptive. Now we get a break, so hold on, because there's a little bit more we'll talk about, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Okay, Stephanie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so I was talking about you keeping records, and the reason is because it can become a legal document. But should you ever decide to be married again and you go through the church, this document will become very valuable and very helpful, because any church worth its salt will ask you specific questions about, well, what was this? When did you get married? Why did you divorce? What was the reasons for this? When did you talk to? Did you go through these procedures to make sure things were right? And this is why you need to do that, because it protects you. If, and then there's this issue, you talk with the elders, if your husband wants to repent, then you have to talk to them about that issue and what you can do. You are not obligated to divorce him, but you're free to if he has committed this adultery. And he's continuing in that. Now, as far as the other man goes, you have no business right now being involved with another man, because you're married. And so your eyes need to be for your husband. And I understand. I understand. This is tough. But
it's like when you got somebody that's there for you, that's your true friend, and supportive, treats you with respect, and is kind.
Good.
And I'm like, they're nothing alike. And I'm like,
Okay.
And I feel like a terrible person because I know I have feelings for somebody else. But the thing is, I walked away from this person to work on my marriage, and then I find out it was all a lie to begin with. And
this needs to be written down in that journal that you walked, that you left that situation. And now let me ask you, this is very important, and you don't have to tell me over the air. In fact, I'm going to ask this in such a way you don't have to say anything. But this other gentleman that you're having feelings with, there sure as heck better not have been anything physical between you two.
No.
Good. Okay.
It's not that we both.
Okay. Now, is he a Christian?
Just good friends.
Is he a Christian?
No. He doesn't go to church.
Okay, so here's a question. Is he a Christian?
Yes, he's a Christian.
Okay. If he's a Christian, then you need to talk to him. And maybe even talk to the elders of his church. Because if he's not going to church and he says he's a Christian, that's a serious warning flag.
Well, okay. He's a single father with two small boys and works a very weird schedule.
Well, okay, you know.
I sort of forgive him for that.
No, it's okay. If that's the situation, I understand. And you talk to your elders about it. And you need to talk to him about your situation and say, we can't get any further involved until all of this is resolved. That's how it has to be. Okay. You can still be friends, but nothing is to occur between you until you are officially divorced, if that's what occurs. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
Okay. You need to be pure before God.
My thing is this. I lost my youngest daughter 6 years ago.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand you. What? Repeat that.
To me,
I didn't understand you.
Youngest,
I'm sorry.
My youngest daughter passed away 6 years ago of a terminal diagnosis. And,
Wait. I have a slight hearing loss, so sometimes it's tough. Your daughter passed
away.
Passed away 6 years ago. What? From what? Or what was it?
A terminal diagnosis. She was my world for 14 years, and what got me through all that was my faith, and it's been very important in my life. And I think that's what scares me. Is I don't want to do anything to jeopardize ever seeing her again, and it does. It just petrifies me. The thought, I miss her every day.
Yeah, but you're breaking up, so it's hard to understand you all of a sudden.
I said I miss her every day, but
yeah,
at the same time, she's never truly gone. Because it's just like, okay, I'll see her again. And I think that's what scares me the most, is doing something that I know I'll never see her again.
Okay, we talked about the divorce thing, and now you're talking about you're scared you're not going to see.
But I'm saying that's what I'm saying. I don't want to screw up because of something my husband did and have.
I'm sorry, but I'm not understanding. I'm not understanding what the issue is. Sorry. Maybe you could repeat that.
The fact that I know I have feelings for someone else.
Yeah.
He's done what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
How do I protect my soul? Know that I've done the right thing through God's
time. This is what you do. Look, you can't lose your salvation, okay? Christ is faithful when you're not. But this is why you need to talk to the elders and just let them know what's going on and keep a record of what's going on. And if you're not perfect in all of this, you're not going to be punished by God and go to hell and can't see your daughter in the afterlife and things like that. That's not how it works. Okay? So, what you need to know...
I've never been through anything like this before.
I know, and it's tough, and you know, I feel for you. You know, I've lost a son, and I can understand what you're going through, and I'm going to see him again, and you're going to see your daughter again. All right, so it's going to happen, but in the meantime, you try and do the best you can here before God. So get involved with the elders of your church, talk to them. Keep that record. Do what you got to do, and go through things slowly. Talk to the guy that you know now. Say everything has to be on hold. You can still be friends, but that's as far as it can go until the situation is resolved, and then you'll move from there. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a blessed day.
You too. And I'm sorry you're going through this, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Know what?
We
have a prayer ministry here. I keep forgetting to mention it, but if you were to. Just if you are interested, anybody's interested, you can just email us at prayer@carm.org and people pray for you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right. Well, God bless.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get over to Steve from Charlotte, North Carolina. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. You were talking about the authority of the books in the New Testament, mm-hmm. and I endorse that. But I always object when people say that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. There's nothing in Scripture that explicitly states that.
You know, I saw your... we have a screen and you can see who's where in the waiting in the queue, and it says Mary Mags wasn't a prostitute. So during the break, I went and researched it, and you're correct. That's absolutely correct. That's right. So
well,
I misspoke.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a general misconception.
I think it
started with one of the popes. Maybe Pope Gregory declared that she was, but he used her as a symbol of salvation. That was his big thing. But, you know, the Catholic Church has corrected this error, and they made her a saint, and so I guess we just all have to catch up.
That's right. Well, but yeah.
In closing, let me say that you gave some great advice to that the poor woman whose husband was cheating on her. I caught my wife in bed with her best friend's husband. And, boy, I tell you, that was shocking, and custody of my sons.
Okay.
And so, and I owe a great debt to our priest. I was Episcopal, from Methodist to Episcopal, and our priest was a great source of comfort and advice.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, appreciate that. Okay, and thanks for calling
in
for that
there,
correction. Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, keep listening. Okay, God bless. All right, three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Nelson from Bakersfield. Welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
God bless.
God bless.
On Luke 16, verse 19,
mm-hmm.
can you pull it up and read everything until the end of the chapter, then I'll ask the question.
Well, that would take a long time, but it's the account of Lazarus and the rich man. Yes, I'm quite familiar with it.
Well, the account right there where the rich man is conscious of his torment and
correct.
What he's seeing when he's speaking mm-hmm. to Abraham.
Yep.
My question regarding that, as I see that scripture, my question is, a person that has been witnessed the gospel and dies without receiving Christ, will they be reminded with that question?
I don't know.
In torment?
I don't know.
That was just my thought, that I would think they probably would.
It might be. What we can conclude from this, it's not a parable, because it has a proper name in it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And it's discussing conscious torment after death. So the annihilationists who hold the soul sleep idea and everybody else are wrong. But nevertheless. So we know a question was asked. We don't know if that means that all people can ask questions and that they will all be answered. We don't know that. We only know that in this situation what Jesus said was how it was. But we could conclude that it's possible that they might cry out for relief and be told why they don't get any. That's certainly possible. All right? We got a break. You want to hold or we got it?
Okay. Yes, okay. I'll hold.
Okay.
Take elaborate a little bit more.
Hey, folks, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome to the last segment. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Nelson from Bakersfield, California. All right, Nelson. So, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So, you said you had one more thing you wanted to talk about with that that issue?
Yep. Well, I mean, yes, because the reason why I'm bringing this topic up is because I think I called a while back referring about that I had a dream that a friend of mine was going to pass away, and I reached out to him about to surrender to Christ for the salvation of his soul, and a couple of days later he got murdered, and so and he ended up passing away. And so my question was referring about that. Like, I don't know if he received the Lord before he passed or what, but if he didn't, I wonder if that was going is going through his mind right now.
Who knows?
That message he saw.
You know, we don't know what they will be thinking. So this may not be the best, you know, analogy, but I had a kidney stone a few years ago. I've only had one. I never, ever want to experience that amount of pain again, ever. And while I was going through it, I wasn't thinking anything. It was just agony. And so there wasn't, well, I wasn't questioning, except during the breaks, I was praying to God, please let it pass, which it eventually did. But so when you're in that much pain, I don't know if they're reasoning and thinking and asking questions. So I don't know. But we have the account in Luke 16, 19 through 32, or 31. Yeah. And it's certainly possible. We don't know the level of the pain they'll be in or the extent of the punishment.
Yeah.
So we just don't know. Okay.
It was just a thought, Damon, that I had. But okay, Matt. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your insight.
I'm glad you preached the gospel to him before he passed away. So praise God. You know, praise God.
Amen.
All right. Okay, brother.
Okay, Matt. God bless you.
God bless. All right, let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. My question is, why the Pentecostal preachers who claim to be sound doctrine, like the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, or all the other branches of Pentecostal churches, and they defend these heretic preachers on TBN, like Benny Hinn, and all these guys, they say they're men of God, because when the news media wants to investigate them about all the lavish lifestyles they have, my pastor one time when I was supposed to Pentecostal church, well, he said, oh, they're attacking the men of God. But if he knew better, okay. Benny Hinn was a heretic.
What's your question?
Why would these Pentecostal, my question is, why would these Pentecostal preachers who claim to be being sound doctrine defend heretics?
Because they don't study the Word of God. They don't study it and then judge truth by the Word of God. They judge it by their feelings and sensibilities, and they're taken in by false teachers. And anyone who would support Benny Hinn, for example, is not qualified to be a pastor.
Like also, like a church member guy, he could be speaking in tongues all the time, preaching in my church. My roommate, he used to buy books from Benny Hinn and all that. And I knew Benny Hinn was a heretic, but they didn't know. I don't know why. And yet they claim to be more spiritual than me.
No.
Not spiritual. Look, and yet,
there are a lot of false teachers out there. Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen. And because the Christian church is not very astute in its ability to understand and study the Word of God, then they believe in and they follow these teachers. So all I can say is that the Christians need to not just go to church and be fed, but need to study their Word periodically on their own. And they need to learn, because they're responsible. That's what has to happen.
I got another question.
Sure.
Like the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, like all these Catholics who claim to be Roman Catholics, they claim to be children of God, and probably 80% of them probably in the world drinking, smoking, partying, doing all kind of secular things. Now, probably 80% of them don't even share the gospel. If I was Pope Francis, I'd be outraged. Why are they not evangelizing the Roman Catholic Church? Even though I know you say it's a cult, and I agree with you,
but at least
why don't they evangelize to Jesus? At least if they claim to be truly the real
they don't.
Church, according to
they don't evangelize. What they do is indoctrinate. They don't evangelize people; they indoctrinate them. to join the church, because their idea of evangelism is to get people to join the true church, go to the Mass, take the sacraments, get grace infused into their souls by which they can become more righteous. So there's no evangelism in coming just to Christ and being forgiven of your sins. That doesn't exist in Catholic theology. It's a false religious system that teaches there's salvation in Christ through the church. The church is the one who has the authority to administer the grace of God and things like that. So that's why they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a gigantic false religion.
Well, I understand that. I agree with you 100%. But why people are so blinded, though? I mean, we're
because
in America.
They don't study the word.
There's so many Christian preachers on TV, even though they don't study the word. They can turn on the channel on TV. They got good preachers on TV. And one day, can't they be exposed to other preachers?
Here's the thing. A lot of people just don't know stuff. And, you know, I've taught Bible studies, and I remember an event when I would ask people, I've been teaching for a while, people who were supposed to be Christians for a long time, and ask them a basic question, and they don't have answers. And mm-hmm. I don't know why that's the case. Maybe they're afraid to speak up. But Christians generally don't know their Bibles, don't know what the truth is. And this is why they go to church, to learn. Well, and that's okay. That's what they're supposed to do. The pastor's supposed to teach them. But I'm finding that a lot of pastors don't teach stuff very deeply. And they don't get into heavy stuff. Maybe they don't want to offend people or have people lose interest. You know, if I were ever a pastor again of a church, I'll tell you, I'd be teaching deep stuff. Not just seminary-level stuff all the time, but I'd be teaching the stuff that would equip them and inform them and alter their thinking, hopefully, more in line with the Word of God. We need that, and pastors need to do that in the church. Need to preach to thin the church out by preaching the truth of God's Word. And that needs to happen. Not to gain people in the church. That's an idol people do. You know, you're a success if you have people in the church. Okay?
But the problem is, sometimes, like, example, like me, if I know the truth and I try to show it in the church, and the pastor or the congregation will oppose me because I stand up against what the pastor, try to show them what we're teaching is false, but the congregation defends their minister, and they all oppose me because I defend the truth. But according to them, they think they're in the truth, and they'll back up the preacher because he's the minister, he's the man of God. So they'll defend him, and so
yeah,
they'll oppose me, who's the...
Yeah, it depends on what the situation is. But you got to understand something. People follow leaders. They follow people. They will become loyal to individuals, to people. And, you might have somebody that you like to listen to or like to read. That's fine. As long as that person is understood to be a sinner saved by grace and that the ultimate authority is the Word of God, then it's okay. But we got to be careful. People... like to follow one individual and just believe whatever he says. They'll do that with pastors. It doesn't matter. The pastor says it. It's just true. He's a man of God. And they don't check what he says. That's why if I were a pastor, and people came up to me periodically and said, look, I was listening to what you said. I'm checking with the Word of God. I'm not sure if I agree with you on some things. I'd be like, I'm delighted. Let's go have lunch and talk about it. Because that would be very good in that they are studying the Word of God, which is what they need to do. I'd love that.
Yep.
That needs to be encouraged. Okay? All right, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Keep on a great grip, sir.
You too, Alberto. God bless, buddy. All right. Let's get to, let's see, Amy from South Carolina. Amy, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is in regards to people who say that they can communicate with animals. I was curious if that is similar to psychics who say they can talk to your loved ones and they're familiar spirits.
No. Dog whispering, you know, things and animals and things like that. It's just that they understand animal behavior. And they know how to use that. I remember seeing a video of a man who, they call him the horse whisperer. And I saw it years ago. And there was this horse that was really difficult to work with. And this man, he was really interesting. He explained what he was going to do and why. And he just did body language, and he turned certain directions and did certain things at certain times. This horse came up to him and would let him ride him. It was amazing. And if I could dare say, we have cats. I've always grown up with cats, and I know what cats do, and I can actually influence cats. And I've told people, this is what happens when a cat does this. This is why that. Do this. Don't do that. And I don't know dogs. I'm not a fan of dogs particularly. But I have a friend who knows dogs. We were doing a work at a house, and this dog came up, and I did the opposite of what he said to do. He goes, no, don't do that. That'll cause this. I listened to what he said, and I did what he said. He was right. So it's just that, you know, animals have certain postures and positions and attitudes, and they'll do certain things. And people are just in tune with them, and that's all it is. Okay? Now, if they can say okay. They talk to them and know their thoughts, that's a problem, okay? All right.
Well, I think there's just certain people who get into certain occultic things, and then mm-hmm. they have these, and so then it's kind of hard to figure out, okay, where, what's going on here. I do have one other question, if that's okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because I had called before about the muscle testing. And, you know, to make sure that we both were on the same page of where the person will actually put their arm out and try to resist someone pushing down on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well,
when you
colors.
Get a response. Mm-hmm. Well, I was about to say, a lot of times I'll say with what I'm familiar with at the moment is someone would hold a particular thing in their hand to see whether or not their body is deficient in something, and depending on the weakness on the arm, that would let them know yes or no. And I just didn't know.
Well, let me. We're almost out of time. We're almost out of time. Let me just jump in a little bit. This kind of thing is interesting. There are actually physiological responses. You can hold. They've done studies. Hold an arm out, and they'll put a color in front of people, and they get weaker. There's actually something that goes on. They don't understand how the brain does this or what. So what object is it that they're holding? We don't know what the real reason is. That weakness might be a side effect. It could be electrical. It could be that it's a shape. It could be that there's a psychological problem someone has with a certain object. Who knows? But it needs to be studied more. We're out of time. You call back tomorrow. We can talk about it some more. Okay? Sorry about that. We're out of time.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, everybody. God bless. And I hope you have a great evening tonight. Oh, wow. And by His grace, we're back on there tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good evening, everyone. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.